seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth. And hath appointed the times before, and hath given the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, For we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer.
Yes.
And just the time I need him, he's always near.
Amen.
He lives.
Yes.
He lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
Amen.
He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And what a wonderful privilege it is to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. Do you know that's been 3,120 Sundays? And do you know that every Sunday since Bob preached the first message, through 7 years of his pastorate, through 35 years of my pastorate, through 17 years of Brother Weaver's pastorate, same gospel, same Bible, same truth, same message, same God, and same Savior, Jesus Christ. This message has gone out without any compromise, any hesitation or reservation or equivocation. God is still on His throne. He will take care of His own. His promises are true. He will see you right through. For God is still on His throne. And what a blessing to have all three of the pastors for the 60 years. You know, in some cases, three churches have 60 pastors in 3 years. But the average tenure for a pastor universally is 1 year and 6 months. 7 years here. 35 years, 17 years, 60 years, to God be the glory. Amen. Great things He hath done. Amen. Now then, open your Bible. Go ahead. That's for you guys, not for me. You too. What a wonderful music. Hadn't that been great? Thank you, quartet and choir and bell choir. And Bob and I sang a little bit. He didn't sing much, but never could sing much. But anyway, open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Amen. Let's see what God's thinking about in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, I shall read only one verse, and that'll be verse number 18. As you're finding your place in Isaiah chapter 1, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven, and is settled right here in this blessed book we call the Bible. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible. It's powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. I read Isaiah 1:18 after we pray. Father, how grateful we are for Thy kindness and blessings today. All the benedictions of 60 years, how could we ever name a number, a count, or classify these blessings that come from Thee? We honor Thee, we adore Thee, we worship Thee, we praise Thee, we exalt the name of Christ. And pray today for those who may have come without Him, that they would hear the voice of God, turn from their ways, trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1 at verse number 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Toward the end of her miserable, wretched life, the notorious atheist Madeline Mary O'Hare said, and I quote, "I wish someone would love me." Ladies and gentlemen, in the hearts of men and women all over this planet, there is a deep-seated, inborn, innate desire and longing to be accepted, to be approved, to be loved, to be wanted. Everybody wants to be wanted. And people need people. But more than that, people need God. That's the hope of our land. We're in dire circumstances in this country. We're having things that are shredding the Constitution, trampling over the traditions of our fathers, and taking us down a socialistic road. May God have mercy on America. It was a sad day when the President of the United States said nationally he approved of same-sex marriage. That flies into the face of a holy God. That goes against God's plan, God's program, God's purpose. And His plan was for one man and one woman. It can't be improved on, must not be changed or circumvented, must not be in any way trampled upon. Amen. Let's stand up for the truth. Amen. I don't know who's going for what, but whatever politician is supporting the traditional values of America, you vote for him. Even if you don't know who he is, if you know he's doing the right thing. There's some people I could tell you to vote against, but I'm not going to do that right now. Everybody wants to be wanted. The desire for identity is universal. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? God has gone to the limit to make known His desire for fellowship with those whom He created. If you want proof of that, I give it to you, and it's threefold. Number one, these are, by the way, not my points to my message. I'll get to that in a little bit. I'll let you know when I'm ready to start preaching. I'm still in the introduction. God has given us His Son. God has given us His Spirit. God has given us His Word. What more can He do than that He hath done? The hymn writer said, "What more can He say than to you He hath said? To you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled." Have you found that refuge in Him? I've entitled this message, "The Hospitality of God." I would have you note in the first place that the hospitality of God extends a gracious invitation to all men everywhere, regardless of their name or nationality, regardless of their race or religion, regardless of their color or creed, regardless of their condition or credential. Listen again to the words of the text. "Come now. Come now, let us reason together." We know that the subject of that sentence is you. It's understood, so it could read easily, "You come now. You and 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 you." Yes, you too, son. God bless you. God bless you. And all the 7,200,000,000 yous on this planet, God says to every one of them, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." One of the characteristic words in the Bible is the word "come." It's used no less than 500 times. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the one word that clearly spells out the hospitality of God. The most gracious invitation ever extended to mankind is in my text. And here's the good news. There are no strings attached. It is absolutely unconditional. It is positively free. Bob, you will remember when we were in seminary, and that's been less than 100 years ago. Dr. Louis Sinsminger taught us a little course. "I'm glad salvation's free. I'm glad salvation's free. salvation's free for you and me. I'm glad salvation's free. Listen again to the words of the text. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you missed it a while ago, could I tell you again, if that sentence could easily begin with the word you, you come now. If you want to know who can come, you can. With all your sins, with all of your shame, with all of your sorrow, with all that bothers you, depression, despondency, despair, whatever it is, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receiveth sinful men. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I'll enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Did I hear someone ask, how may I come, preacher? I'm glad you asked that question. You got questions? We got answers. And here it is. You may come just as you are. You don't have to wait to get any better. You don't have to wait to get any worse, but just like you are. Charlotte Elliott, the famous songwriter, wrote these immortal words, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst bid me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Did someone ask, when may I come? I can answer that in one word. N-O-W. Now. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I should tell you, the clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with will. Place not faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the wise man wrote in Proverbs 27:1, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Today, Paul wrote in Hebrews 3:8, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then in Proverbs 29:1, the wise men wrote, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. By the way, a lot of people decide they're going to wait until the 11th hour to get saved, only to die at 10:30. Don't let it happen to you. And I should tell you, you are younger today than you will ever be. Yes. Let me make this very clear. You don't have to come. The acceptance of God's gracious invitation is on a voluntary basis. God calls and God pleads, but God does not force and God does not demand. Most of us know Holman's painting of Christ standing at the door and knocking. Soon after he painted that wonderful painting with Jesus standing there knocking, one man said to him, but Mr. Holman, you didn't put a handle on the door. To which he replied, the handle is on the inside. Amen. Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote Jesus, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in the Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. You see, my friend, God did not approach Adam, in the Garden of Eden as a policeman with a billy stick. He came as a loving heavenly Father seeking that one who had gone astray. Noah was not driven into the ark to escape the flood. He accepted God's invitation, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The disciples were not drafted into the Savior's service. They voluntarily answered his call, his invitation to follow him. And here's his invitation. And I'm going to quote Jesus again. He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Did you know, my friend, that Jesus also said, and I'm going to quote him again, I love to quote Jesus, in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The welcome mat is out, ladies and gentlemen. The red carpet of God's mercy and grace extends to the door of your heart. The door of salvation is open wide, and anyone, whosoever will, may come in. The gracious invitation is extended, and this is the hospitality of God. Amen. Secondly, the hospitality of God includes a time of reasoning in the courtroom of mercy. Hear me when I say it. It is not often, if ever, a king invites a criminal to sit with him at the conference table. But you know what? The King of Kings is doing just that. He's inviting you and me to come and sit with him at his table. Criminals that we are, rebels that we are, sinners that we are, aliens that we are, strangers that we are. He's saying to you and me, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My friend, hear me when I say it. God is interested in your needs, amen, your burdens, your problems, your heartaches, your difficulties, your trials, your troubles, your temptations. God wants to reason with you. God is wanting to tell you what he can do for you. He wants you to bring him all your doubts, all your fears, all your frustrations, all your anxiety, all your worry, all your despondency, everything that bothers you, casting all your care upon him. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, for he careth for you. God wants to reason you with in the matters of life and death. And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Life and death and time and eternity. And I suggest to you, when you reason with God, you're going to learn three things. Please don't miss this. Number one, you're going to learn that you're a sinner by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're going to learn that you need a Savior. You're going to learn there's only one Savior. And there's only one way to heaven. And that one Savior is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the only way to heaven is by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Jesus. Oh, here I go quoting Jesus again already. You know by now I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 14:6, and this excludes all of the religions and all of the ways and all of the paths. I am the way, amen, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. I have one more thing and I'll be through. The hospitality of God offers a remarkable promise of pardon. And here it is. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There was a famous evangelist in Scotland, a former prize fighter, a notorious sinner, with a criminal record a mile long, as they put it. And on the last night of his campaign in his own home city, when he approached the pulpit desk, he found there an envelope with his name on it. He opened that envelope, and there was a list of every crime he had ever committed in that city. Someone tried to shame him, but he read that list aloud to the congregation and then said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm guilty of every crime, but thank God I've been pardoned. Thank God there's pardon today. Thank God." The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him." Now watch this. "And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I want you to know, there's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There's welcome for the sinner. There's more graces for the good. There's mercy with the Savior. There's healing in his blood. How many of us have heard the little children sing? And God bless the folks who are taking care of the little children today. I hope you can hear this. God give you a great reward for teaching those little children. And they used to sing, and probably still do, "Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide." And ladies and gentlemen, William Cooper wrote it, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile is he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." My friend, I'm happy to tell you that fountain is still flowing deep and wide. Deep enough and wide enough to cover all your sins. Thank God for the fountain of blood. It's decision time, my friend. That fountain is still flowing and will never, never, never run dry. I need to tell you that life is uncertain. Death is sure. Sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. John wrote in the Revelation 20, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Amen. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Question. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? Amen. Hospitality of God, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. May we quietly stand together, please. As our heads are bowed while we're standing together. Heads are bowed. Who would be first? Who would be first to step out of your seat and make your way to the altar this morning? Trusting Christ. Believing Christ. Honoring Him. Asking Him to save you, to forgive you. Come now, let us reason together. While heads are bowed. Who would say this morning, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Are there those like that? Put your hand up real high so I can see it and God sees it whether I do or not. Just say by the lifted hand, I've never trusted Christ. I've never been saved. Pray for me. Anyone? I'm waiting. Who would say this morning as a Christian? Please listen carefully. I think the 60th anniversary would be a good time for me to rededicate my life. You love the Lord and you've been saved, but things may not be just exactly right in your life today. You'd just like to step out and come to the altar, come to the front, find your place, rededicate your life, your heart, your business, your home, your family to Jesus. I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you would say, I have a prayer burden in my heart? Maybe it's for some loved one that's lost. Maybe it's for a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker. Maybe it's something in your own heart that's troubling you, bothering you. You need help. You need wisdom from God. You need counsel. You need peace in your heart. You want to put that prayer burden on the altar. Would you lift your hand if you have a prayer burden this morning? Put it up real high. Put it up real high. All over. Now I'm going to ask you to do this, those of you who lifted your hand. Without any further tarrying, I want you to step out of your seat right now. You lifted your hand. Right now, come and find a place at the altar and put that burden, leave the burden with the Lord. Whatever that prayer burden is, we're going to sing. We're going to pray. I want you to step out. Don't wait for somebody else to come because somebody else may not come. You have the prayer burden in your heart. For someone else or for yourself. Make your way to the front. Father, we thank you for this multitude that's coming today. And I pray that as the choir offers the invitation of peace, the Holy Spirit speaks. Others will come right now. Help them to do it without delay. In Jesus' name.